You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
And I'm seated with Father Howard Espy from Scotland. How are you, sir?
I am very well. Loving it here at Trinity. It's wonderful.
Well, tell the folks about where we are and why you're here.
Well, we're currently sitting on a picnic table in the grounds of Trinity Anglican Seminary. And it's part of, I've just begun a doctoral program of ministry, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Now, you're already a minister in Scotland, right? And you have a church.
I am, yes. We're based in the Highlands of Scotland on the Ardnamurchan Peninsula, and we are establishing a house of prayer that will be abbey-like in that it will raise up disciples and leaders in the gospel. And then from this house of prayer, this mother church, it'll then, like seeds on the wind, these disciples will move through the villages and the towns and the cities of the highlands and the islands. And so really thinking about restoring that ancient Celtic pattern of places like Iona or Lindisfarne, where there was the weaving together of prayer and a life together that then shaped this way of mission.
And when you say abbey, what do you mean?
An abbey is a place where people live together in community. They are
monks,
yeah, but we're trying to then make that real for the ordinary Christian. We're drawing it back into the glories of our baptism, and in the glories of our baptism, we're then, we receive Christ, we're being drawn up into more of Christ, and he's forming his life in us. And I feel like we've to be an abbey or an abbey-like centre. I don't want to in any way think that we are equal to those who are in religious monastic orders, but I believe that the church has to reclaim a sense of total devotion and a single-minded, ever-upward gaze, so that they can have more and more expansion within the soul, so that Christ can be more and more, and like John the Baptist, we can get less and less.
Creating disciples.
Exactly. Forming disciples, but in a way that's whole, and so from life together, living life in community together, reading the scriptures and studying the church fathers, there's this holistic sense of body, soul, and spirit being formed in Christ.
Now, let's just say it just so happens that somebody is listening to this broadcast on WCNO or on my podcast, and maybe they have Scottish descent, or for some reason God puts it in their heart that they want to write a check and help you out. You know, you never know. Or they want to come visit you. How would somebody listening to this get in touch with you?
Well, our ministry is called The Way of the Beloved, and we have a website, thewayofthebeloved.org. And we are rooted in the Highlands. We've been there 5 years now in a place called Greenwood. And it's 70 acres. The Lord's blessed us with 70 acres. 70 acres.
Oh, my word.
And on our land, we have Columba's Well that he opened up by speaking to a rock. Water sprang forth. And then he uses this water to baptize a child. And the Lord has called us to this place, and he's given us this place, so that just like Columba baptized this child, we can also draw Christians into the glories of their inheritance in Christ. But God willing, we'll see many more people baptized across the Highlands. And we would covet your prayers, and if you are feeling drawn or led to support us, we would really, we'd be so blessed by that too, because it takes the church to build the church. We're not doing this on our own. And so if your listeners are keen to learn more, you can check out our website, thewayofthebeloved.org, or I also have a blog, which is b-roads.inc.
Now, let me ask you this. So we sat down the other day. I got to meet you here. We've been for a week taking classes here in Pennsylvania. I'd like to know, you told me your story, and I know it was a dramatic story. So were you brought up in a Christian home? How did you come to have an intimate relationship with Jesus?
Well, he began it all. He's the one who calls, and we are those who are drawn to follow. I grew up in a nominal Christian home. We would attend Sunday school growing up nominally, kind of occasionally. My grandma was a dear woman of faith. Mum and dad were going along because it was the thing that we did. It was quite a sort of traditional church. I didn't hear the evangelical gospel. I didn't need to know that I could know the Lord. It was just, for me, it was something of a history lesson or, you live by good moral compass, like it's a moral compass to live by. But I'm dyslexic, and it was through my high school exams that I realized my need of help, and I was quite anxious, quite worried, and dyslexia makes words all a jumble, and so I began to pray, and through my exams I sensed a peace, the peace of God. I began to taste in an experiential way, I began to feel it, and there was a sense in which when I'm, after all the exams were finished, it was in the height of the summer holidays, I'm a mad keen fly fisherman for trout, and I was fishing in a loch 3 miles from my home, and it was as if the Lord decided to come fishing with me. His presence came into the boat, and I saw my life. I saw all the blessings and the benefits. It was like a highlighter pen. Not just that I'd been helped through my exams, but I had a loving mum and dad who cared for me. I saw the food, the life, the love, all of the gifts, all of the things that I'd been given. And I was overwhelmed with thankfulness. And then I found myself asking a question. Well, Lord, you've given me so much. What is it you'd like me to offer you? And then I answered my own question. Lord, you can have my life. I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. And then 5 minutes later, flicking another fly a couple of times, launching a cast or two, then I hear this still small voice. It's like my own, but it's deeper. Okay, it's time to go home. And I laughed. I thought, oh, that's great. You invite him in and now he starts talking. And then 5 minutes later...
It didn't scare you?
Well, I was a little bit taken aback, but then it got a little bit more stern. No, it's time to go home. And I was like, wow, what's happening? And it's now 10 o'clock at night. It's a summer night. Still the last vestiges of the day are there, but I have to make my way through a very dark forest. I lock up the boat and I'm moving through the forest. And I'm aware of another presence. It was an evil presence in the forest. And then I called out. And as I called out, I experienced the Lord in a wonderful vision. He was wearing a robe and he lowered the hood of his robe. And he didn't say a word. And he led me out of the forest by raising his hand. And then I saw him another 2 times on that journey home. And fast forward to first year university. Amazingly, I got into university. That was miraculous. I got the grades. The Lord helped me.
Yeah, great.
And I was attending a student meeting. I was drawn to this student meeting because a friend who had been in my class the whole year, he came in one morning with eyes like lighthouses. And he was like, Howard, are you a Christian? And I had been praying like God would bring Christians across my path. And he said, I'm a lapsed Catholic. I didn't know you could know God like this, but these people know God. They invited him to come and his presence came into the gathering. We're going again next Thursday. Do you want to come?
Now, what kind of a gathering was this?
This was a Pentecostal gathering. Scottish Pentecostals, wonderful folks at Struthers Memorial Church. And so I go the next Thursday and there's... The preacher is talking about walking from the darkness of the tomb and the reality of the fact that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins and we belong in the darkness of the grave. We're spiritually dead. It's not a matter of moral rectification, trying to do things better or... No, you can't. And then there's the enemy there. There's the prince of the power of the age of darkness. He's blinded our eyes. And that was what was stalking in the forest that night. And as the preacher's speaking, I'm taken back into that first encounter with the Lord on that journey home. And then the preacher talked about the glory of the resurrected Lord and how his face shines like the sun and his eyes are like fire. And for a nanosecond, I saw the Lord again, but this time it was an unapproachable glory. And it was such a bold ending to the sermon. I'll never forget it. This young adult leader, he said, his name's Andrew. Andrew said, who would like to know the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? We can know it today in our Christian experience. Well, my hand shot up. I'm like, I want to know this because I want to know what I experienced in that forest. And amazingly, He prayed for me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I began singing in this other language that was like fire coursing through, and it just completely, completely and utterly changed my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Indeed. He's so good. And then you never come to the end of him. As we've been thinking about here at Trinity this week, you don't get past the gospel. You don't like, oh, I've got the gospel, now what else is there to learn? No, you grow deeper in the
it's
gospel.
It's eternal.
It's eternal, and we'll never stop worshipping him. He is so good, and there's so much to mine out in all that the Lord has done, is doing, and will do.
Now, once again, what is your website in Scotland?
It's thewayofthebeloved.org.
And your name is?
Father Howard Espy.
Now, listen to me. So I'm going to ask you to pray now. You should be listening to this broadcast. And matter of fact, my pastor, who is at this time, is an Anglican who believes, is not a sensationalist. He believes in all the gifts of the Spirit. So, as you do. So he was listening to radio, and this old-time Southern man from America, who I met years ago, he's a famous preacher, he's been dead 35 years, he's listening to the broadcast and gets saved. Yeah. So right now, this might fall upon the ears of someone, you're listening to this and you don't know if you know Jesus. You want the same Jesus, the same connection that the Father here has. So would you lead us in a prayer? Somebody out there who needs to know the Lord.
Yeah, wonderful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your beloved Son. Thank you that in him we can have a new and living way opened right up to your very heart. I bless your listeners. We ask to see Jesus together, Father. We ask that you build and bless your church. We ask that she would be renewed in this nation and in the nations of the world. We pray, Lord, for your glory to open the eyes of the blind, to let those walking in darkness see a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Lord, we ask to receive Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the gift of the Father to show us Jesus. We love your ministry. We can't do this without you. And we welcome your presence onto this program and also into the lives of everyone listening. Multiply your grace to them. Save the lost. And please fill the saved with your holy presence. Set those who are oppressed, set them free. Let healing come, Lord, in this prayer. And Lord, let your prophetic word come now so that we can hear your voice and live. To the glory of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. Again, your website is?
thewayofthebeloved.org.
So if you want to go to Scotland and meet this tall, handsome movie star, good-looking guy, I'll tell you what, and he's got a great accent, and he loves the Lord, miraculously called from a young age. It's been really great getting to know you, and thank you for coming on our broadcast.
It's been an absolute delight. It's great to meet you this week here and to share testimonies of all that the Lord's done in our lives. I've loved it. Thank you.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Every knee.